the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this morning you get a little unexpected lesson in how the Gospels differ in their presentation of Jesus' baptism. This is the one marked for today. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So that wasn't David's fault, by the way. It was pre-marked. So I would be remiss if I didn't say right now, thank you to everyone at Palmer who prayed, wrote notes, texted, brought food, attended Andy's funeral, helped with the liturgy or reception, sang, played the organ, or simply thought about us as we endured his illness and sadly his death a week before Christmas. Your support made it possible to bear the unbearable. Of course, life goes on, even in a hospital room. Our youngest son, Caleb, was working on his graduate school admission essays in those last weeks of his dad's life, often right there in the hospital room with him. And every time now someone is applying, writing one of those admission applications, I think of this story. A young woman was applying for admission to college. She was very uncomfortable with the question, "Are you a leader?" She knew that colleges were looking for leaders, but she felt the only honest answer was no. So that was what she wrote. She mailed in the application, expecting to be rejected. Sometime later, she received this reply from the college, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that for this year, our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative they have at least one follower." The people are full of expectations as they come to the River Jordan to see John the Baptist. Is he the leader they've been waiting for? Could he be the long-expected Messiah? John, aware of their hopes, is quick to dash them. He says, "No, it ain't me." And then he helps them to understand how his ministry differs from the one they're looking for. He says, "I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat." When I was a kid, I was a little afraid of the portrayals of John the Baptist. He was always pictured as a wild-looking man, a fiery, finger-waving preacher of repentance. But his water baptism sounds pretty mild next to Jesus' baptism with Holy Spirit and fire, especially when it includes something called threshing, which sounds uncomfortably like thrashing. John's baptism focused on repentance and the washing away of sin. One of my favorite movies is O Brother, Where Art Thou? If you've never seen it, find it and watch it. In one scene, a con man named Delmar has just been baptized in the river and is barely able to contain his delight as he and his friends drive away. He cries out, "I've been redeemed. The preacher said so. All my sins and wrongdoings has been wiped away, including robbing that Piggly Wiggly." Delmar, I thought you said you was innocent of those charges. "Well, I lied, but I've been forgiven of that too." Jesus' baptism includes repentance and the washing away of sin, or we could say the threshing away of sin. But it's more than that. John the Baptist could prepare people for the new life Jesus would offer them, but only Jesus had the power to give them that new life through the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The real question for Delmar and all baptized Christians is, will you open the gift you've been given? Can you imagine leaving your Christmas gifts under the tree, just admiring how prettily they're wrapped, but never opening them? And yet I'm often struck by how many Christians act as though they've only received John's baptism, been forgiven for the past, but not empowered for the future. At baptism, when we say, "You are marked as Christ's own forever," we make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the newly baptized. This sign, like the signature on a great painting, tells us who created us, who loves us, and who empowers us to become the people we were created to be. Bishop Festo Kibinjere of Uganda wrote a little booklet on the Holy Spirit. The title on the front of the book was, "When God Moves, ... And when you opened the book, it said, "You move too." When God moves, you move too. As the new year begins, I hope you will open the best gift you've ever received. It's deceptively easy to do. Simply tell God, "You consent to the presence and action of the Holy Spirit within." Then go out and about the world in the power of that same Spirit to love the world as God does. Amen.